Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yeah, you are in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from New Orleans, Louisiana, where Super Bowl Radio Row is going on. John Lopez, Reginald Atatula, Figgy Fig, somewhere around here somewhere.
There he is.
He just popped right back up. He is getting that content. Make sure that you follow us, Sports Radio 610, on Instagram. And shout out to Aaron Rabel, the unsung hero of these things, making sure that we sound good from here. And then, of course, also an appreciation of Byron Matthews on the ones and twos.
Quick tease.
Okay.
Aaron Raybould is how far away from me? A foot and a half, 2 feet?
Yeah.
Just to prove, when we get to confessions, that, you know, we say these things. Hey, would you say that in front of them? I'm going to say something in front of Aaron during confessions.
Oh.
That may not be real popular. May get my microphone turned off.
I don't like this setup. This setup is kind of crazy.
But it's all right. He's already contemplating turning off my mic.
That's right. Very good. Again, much appreciation to Flight by Yuengling helping us get out here. They are a presenting sponsor of this whole shindig. And then, of course, appreciation to Low T Center. Exclusive furniture for that hot seat. And, of course, Mo Karam Injury Lawyers who are helping us with the video stream, the live stream. That's how you can see us. Let's talk more about this offensive coordinator thing. We were just talking to my guy Charles McDonald, Yahoo Sports. I was kind of interested that I rolled out all the various names of the coordinators that this team has actually talked to, which is starting to get pretty robust.
Eight names on deep.
Like, I just thought in my head just a moment ago, do I want to read them again? And do I want to say all the names again?
We've heard them.
It's a lot of names.
We know the top ones, probably.
We probably know the top ones.
Yeah.
But of all those names that I threw at him, the one that he immediately was latched on to was Gerard Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. The continuity that exists. Like, what at this point, you know, we know that Chip Kelly is no longer there. We know that, hey, the way that this feels, it feels like it's a lot of young guys bringing some fresh feelings. Like, where are we now with this offensive coordinator search in your mind?
Yeah, what's next is kind of what we're talking about. And you say, you know, Chip Kelly is no longer there. We don't even know how much he was even there, right, to begin with.
Well, yeah, like just, he's just off the table. Yeah, and if you're wondering why that is, he accepted reportedly $6
million
to be the offensive coordinator of the Los Angeles Rams.
Crazy.
You might be asking,
own right.
Reggie, is there a quarterback that plays for the Los Angeles or Las Vegas Rams? To which I would say, not that I know of.
That would be a no.
Not that I know of. I mean, there might be one that is nominally a quarterback.
Yeah.
Not anybody of any real importance or significance. And yet, there he goes. Like, sometimes you get that money. However, we're here. What is indeed next?
You know, I started thinking about this when we were talking to Charles. You know, not only what next. I think the sort of the baseline of what's next is, I think we're going to have a decision here in the next maybe a couple of days, certainly by Friday. I think they've gone through the entire process. They're going through it pretty quickly. They're getting their interviews done. And they've given us a template of kind of the profile, if you will, of guys, for the most part,
yeah,
that they're going to bring in. Young, maybe a little more diverse background in terms of offenses that you've run, or at least have had a taste of different offenses. They're certainly going to – I don't think they're going to move on from three or four offensive linemen. There might be one or two that they do. So they're certainly going to have to work with what's here. And that does point – to Gerard Johnson, but not just Gerard Johnson. It points to Nick Caley as well, who might be a Nick Caserio guy, but nevertheless, D'Amico would be on board. It might, certainly.
And there are reports that Nick Caserio is the man, not Nick Caserio. D'Amico Ryans is indeed, he's at the helm of this. In fact, when I say there are reports, Jonathan Alexander, who, mind you, he is also on ground here in New Orleans. I'm sure that you will hear his voice on these airwaves sooner rather than later. He wrote a fantastic piece, over the weekend, I believe, about just kind of the search. And that's one of the things, in addition to a few other interesting things at the top of it that he wrote in there.
Yeah, and so that goes directly into my large report that I was thinking about with whether it's, whomever comes in. How it affects what D'Amico is doing with his team and his staff, and let me explain that just a little bit. Let's say Nick Caley gets the job.
Okay.
How are you playing that with Gerard? And how is Gerard thinking about that? Because let's be honest, he interviewed for offensive coordinator jobs last year.
Mm-hmm.
He interviewed for at least one two, including the Texans, offensive coordinator job this year. Then you're going to be the quarterback coach for someone who got the job you interviewed for? That's a little awkward.
I mean, yeah, awkward happens, but I mean, there's also one of the things that we talked about.
Or is he even going to get that job?
I don't know.
I
mean, I feel like it depends, right? Nick Caley is his – I mean, with any person, you take a job and you have the opportunity to hire who you want, right? That was the reporting when they fired Bobby Slowick and they got rid of Chris Josser and they basically left everything else as is. Obviously, some contracts ran out, but everything else, they were like, we're not going to do anything here so that the next person who comes in and occupies the space can do with it and mold it to the way that they want. And you would expect nothing less, right?
Yeah.
Because if you want that person to come in and be as effective as possible, you want to give them the free rein and the leeway to be able to craft their staff in a way that they best see fit in order to get the job done as they imagine they
could.
You're
right, but you're 100% right.
Yeah.
D'Amico loves Gerard.
Sure.
I mean, so it's like almost like...
D'Amico also loved Bobby Slowick.
He did, but he kept Gerard.
Sure.
He kept Gerard, when Bobby Slowick... It would have been easy to say, guys...
But Gerard... But that also falls in line with what leaves everything as is. And if somebody, if Nick Caley is the man, right, they will come in and they will determine who their quarterback coach is. Now, I imagine whoever that is, right? Nick Caley, Stenovich, whoever. They have their associations as well, but I think that what will also come into factor is, hey... It is probably a benefit to me as an offense coordinator to see a quarterback coach rather, that has a connection with this quarterback. That quarterback believes in him, and maybe that is helpful to me.
No, you're not wrong.
So, and I mean, obviously, there's still the opportunity for D'Amico Ryans to take that relationship and make that vital to what they decide with this offense coordinator. But assuming that he isn't it, I think that still could factor in on the decision of quarterback coach. But that's a whole other
really interesting because, you're Nick Caley. Dream job. This is something that you've been working for. And then I don't know if they're necessarily going to make you keep Gerard Johnson or anybody on the staff for that matter, but let's talk about Gerard.
No, that's assuming that Gerard Johnson does not ultimately
if he doesn't go on his own, which I don't think he would necessarily because, this is something that is near and dear to him and working with CJ and he wants to get the job and he doesn't want to necessarily move on from here. But it's the job that he also interviewed for. It just makes for some interesting things because, Nick Caley probably has a quarterback's coach in mind.
Sure.
That he would like to
Quite
bring
possibly.
In.
Yeah.
And then it ends up being him or not. I mean, it really is interesting, especially when the head coach clearly has an affinity for some coaches that he kept here, Lazor and Gerard.
Yeah, but I think this is a new juncture where the other things are having to be considered. Rather, the thing that I've been thinking a lot about is again, you talked about the group, the class of, I guess, in a way of saying, of guys that have been interviewed for this. And one of the things we keep coming back to is just the notable various different mentors that they've had and the various different systems that show up. The question comes back around for me, and it's one of the reasons why I asked Charles that a second ago: is there a system that you feel best suits what C.J. Stroud does, or at the very least what you would like to see them do? Like, are you in a place where you really would like to see this, you know, remain in that, you know, Shanahan style, or would you like to see something different come into play here?
Yeah, I think this needs to be the sort of the hub. The hub of the offense is what is this Shanahan type system, the Shanahan Kubiak type system, but not exclusively. And I think that's where, and we've talked about this, Bobby Slowick was kind of, you know, headstrong about not changing, whether it's the blocking assignment or whatever it may be, run game, you know, responsibilities, tight ends blocking. We've talked about all that stuff. So I think this is still the hub of the offense, but that's why I'm leaning toward guys that have had, you know, experiences in other type of blocking schemes and offenses as well. And that points to, I think it's going to come down to Kaylee, Jarrod Johnson, or Stanovich. It's going to be one of those three guys. And they've all had those similar experiences.
Do you have any concern with them? I mean, well, I guess this is the thing. Like, I keep asking about the idea of like play calling, but it's very evident that that's not been the priority here for this in this search. It seems like the priority here is like some level of malleability to what you're bringing system wise to this offense. And it seems like we're both on the same page. Where I think with what you have here, it seems like what you're going to do is a different system. Where are you okay with the idea that you're going to see this offensive line look fairly similar? Because it does feel like that's also something that's here.
I think the faces are going to be fairly similar. I don't know if they're all going to come back, but I think the faces are going to be fairly similar. I think the most important thing that DeMeco is asking potential offensive coordinators is, how are you going to block this up? You know, they look at tape. They look at game plans and talk about the experiences that. How would you block this up? Because what we did not work. And so I think that's going to be where some of these other experiences come into play and help these guys basically get the run game going and still be able to use CJ and some of the other stuff.
I'm with you there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Was there something else that you wanted to?
No, I just think it's a fascinating thing that's happening here. I do feel we're going to get the announcement here pretty soon. I can't imagine we're going to have any other candidates. Of course,
I mean, are there any other people out there that you could possibly interview at this point?
Exactly.
Like, you've interviewed so many people, and again, like, also with when you look at the type that they have, that was the one thing that I was thinking about is, hey, are they going to then start dipping their toe into the possibility of interviewing more experienced coaches? And I thought that, you know, that's where you might eventually get into that Chip Kelly vein. And no, like, this remains where they are. They remain in this pocket of things, and so that's what's happening there. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said, if the Chiefs are the visiting team in New Orleans, does that mean they get a crap locker room? No. they'll be set up. They'll be set up pretty well. Speaking of the Chiefs, we haven't talked a lot about this game itself. One of the things, I kind of want to do a little hater talk, if you're okay with it. Is that okay? Can we
Who's
do a little hater talk?
Who's not good with a little hater talk?
And the thing about this, the Chiefs obviously going for the three-peat or the three-chief or whatever we want to ultimately deem it as. But I've been thinking about this, just kind of banding it about in my brain. Like, what are the things that could possibly keep them? What are the potential cracks in this dynasty of the Chiefs?
In terms of the game?
No, in general.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, who knows?
We can talk about the game.
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
But, like, in the entire – because, like, look, whether they win this game or not, I think a lot of people understand and believe that this is a Chiefs team that is still going to be one that you have to contend with going forward. And my thought is – What are the cracks in the dam that might actually bring this thing down?
Well,
sooner,
I mean, how much more does Travis Kelce have in him?
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's the one. Is just like, does Travis Kelce, you know, get down on bended knee and you know, propose to Taylor Swift and then walk off into the sunset? Especially considering how vital that particular connection, not with him and Taylor Swift, but with him and Patrick Mahomes. Well, yeah, who knows? All right, but what was that? Remember that story about Taylor Swift drawing up plays at points? Right, that was the thing that happened. But yeah, the connection with Patrick Mahomes and him, like, that becomes very vital in those big moments. The thing that seems to carry them over is, you know, when big moments come up, that third down where you need a player, what have you, they have that connection. If that connection isn't there, could that be a thing that bring this thing down a peg, or maybe brings this thing down in a larger way? I don't know. Like, outside of that, what do you look at and you go,
what's sad? You know what's sad? Like, outside of that, you're like, well, maybe their receivers, no, they should be okay.
Dude, the last few years they've been doing
this. They got young guys now. They got, you know, all
this stuff. Wasn't it last year we were looking at Kadarius Toney? Like, does that dude know how to – you know, fill out, like read the playbook, getting out here and infecting games.
Yeah. And so you go, okay, well, what about the running game? Well, no, they'll end up being all right there, I'm sure, because, you know.
Pacheco and a big old Kareem Hunt still getting his thing
What about Patrick Mahomes? Well, no, he's young. He's pretty young.
Like, is there
I mean, three Super Bowls under 30? You know, how old is he? You win three Super Bowls and you're under 30? I don't think that's going to be a worry, you know. And then, oh, the defense. Oh, no, no.
Yes,
the defense
going to be all right. We talked about the idea of someone going to hire Steve Spagnuolo away.
That's the thing. Like, we need an AFC or an NFC team to step in and hire Spagnuolo just
Does he have grandchildren? Is there a way that we can be like, hey, you're not spending enough time with your grandkids,
just
my man.
To undercut the Chiefs. Just, you know, we're going to hire him. No, we don't think we're going to win, but we just don't want the Chiefs to win. Get him out there.
Is there anything else that we point to?
What
here?
Is what,
like Andy Reid is getting to this place, right? Is Andy Reid maybe deciding to call it quits, the one where you can go to?
Why would he do that? He is obsessed with – I mean, he's sacrificed – hell, he's you could argue he's sacrificed some of his family for this, you know, for this job. And, you know, why would he leave a team that could just continue to win Super Bowls?
I thought that you might actually have some here, and all I did was
Travis
just
Kelce,
remind myself. Travis Kelce walk away and make this more – okay, very good. Very good.
Somebody just finally becomes better. You know, finally, you know, whether it's the Texans or the Bills or – well, it's not going to be the Bills.
The Lions or – I mean, but you're talking about in the AFC, the Ravens finally, like, not stepping on their foot, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. The Bengals
That's
coming through
the
and actually –
That's about the only hope you got. It is sickening.
All right. Well, that didn't make me feel any better.
No, it didn't make me feel better either.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We have appreciation to Flight by Yingling helping us be out here on Radio Row. But coming up next, about that time when we do our lunchtime confessions, and we will lean into the New Orleans of old.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
With it next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this. These are my confessions.
Shout out to the whole gang here, and especially Aaron Raybould for keeping us on air. We'll see how that progresses. So... my.
I don't think he's going to take us off.
So my. Think. Here's my first confession.
All right.
I am so tired, and right on cue, show walks in. I am so tired of people saying that Cowboy Carter is not a real country album.
Oh yeah, we were watching the Grammys.
We were watching the Grammys.
Yeah.
And Aaron and Ron and others got into a little discussion about it, and Aaron's defending it's not real country and all that stuff. And I can appreciate that. I get all that. But I didn't want to get into it. We were talking about other stuff. We were sitting on this side of the room. But the whole time I was thinking, how many times has the definition of rock and roll changed in the past 5 or 6 decades?
A ton. No, are you going to turn on your mic, Raybo? At this point, you're trying to argue.
Here's my point. Rock and roll was, Buddy Holly, that sound, or whatever it might have been. Then you get into the 60s, the Beatles, they called it the pop, whatever. But it was, they became rock band and Rolling Stones. That was, then it became, heavy metal. Then it became, all kinds of different things. Then it became grunge. And all these things were versions of rock that won rock albums of the year. So who cares? I mean, country music changes. You don't have to have, whatever it may be, a washboard, and a banjo and tambourines on your knees or whatever it may be for it to be country. Country definition of country music changes over the course of time. Definition of rock has changed over the course of the time. So Beyonce won. Cowboy Carter, was it record of the year, song of the year, album of the year?
Well, she won album of the year, but yeah. It was also, I think it was country album of the year that ultimately
cool.
Got
that's what country is
going.
Now, right?
Well, I mean, this is the thing from 713. It's not if it wasn't, why wasn't it mentioned at the CMA Awards? And I think that's because there's a lot more politics involved here than we want to admit. There are a lot of politics involved in all of this. Like, I think, and this is outside of like the space of, I think people would get into race or whatever. Like, there's just some things of. And Aaron, you notice. I know you're looking on and trying not to talk, but you're trying to talk with your eyes. There he is. We've drawn him in.
If y'all want me to be on the air, but I don't get paid to be on the air with y'all.
No, but I mean, there's conversations about like country being kind of gatekept, even just within Nashville. Like, if you do not operate in Nashville,
they hate the Texas sound.
It is a pretty political space, and I mean that. Like, there's a lot of politics within there.
The whole industry is.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter. Rap.
But, yeah, for sure.
The R&B community and the rap community, there's political.
There are.
Between the two of them.
But what I'm saying is rock and roll has been redefined 5, 6, 7
times. Yes, but there's
times.
A million subgenres of rock now.
Why can't it be? But
then
it's still
we need
rock.
To start creating subgenres of country.
I think that's what's happening. And Lainey Wilson, somebody said Lainey Wilson should have won instead of Beyonce. Well, sure, if you believe that, fine. But they're both artists in the country, lane.
Or at least that album existed within the country space.
Mm-hmm. These are my confessions.
I might have gotten a little wild with it yesterday. A little too wild with it.
Did you?
I maintain that I don't think that I did. However, the result it was something that looked a little wild with it. So, yesterday, myself, Aaron, and Figgy, as well as Show, we hit at the French Quarter to go get some beignets. I was like, I'm going to
You
make
were on
sure.
a mission.
I needed to start.
Yeah, you were on a mission.
I was like, if we start getting beignets on Sunday, then whatever else happens, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
But I was like, I got to make sure we do this now because I didn't know what the week would hold. And then, when you're on the French Quarter, you might as well hit bourbon right quick.
We
don't got to get a lot of drinks, but get one.
Yeah.
And my one was a hand grenade. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm walking around, and we are in New Orleans. You can take your drink to go. And I did take my drink to go, and then ultimately, but once we speed ran bourbon, we got into the car to head back. Mm-hmm. And so we got into the Uber, and I was in the very back, and I had my hand grenade, which was empty because I handled my business. It was just some ice in there, and I put it in the cup holder. And then when I got out of the car, because I was in the back of the Yukon, I had to like funnel my way out, and I forgot my hand grenade. And then the hand grenade fell over in the Uber.
You're that guy. Or at least you were last night.
But I'm not that guy.
Hey, we going to talk about what happened after the fact.
Oh,
because
yeah.
The Uber driver, I don't think she was too happy about this.
Yeah.
She sent pictures, I heard.
And so I was
because
like, I feel like
we,
maybe.
We going to get into it in the mixtape.
Maybe I did
we
too much.
We going to break it down in the mixtape. Yeah.
On night one of Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I got a confession. Somebody said add a shot for $1. Okay. All right.
These are my confessions.
Hey, Figgy's back.
Hey, yes. Figgy's back.
What's up, y'all? So, I got to confess, man, I'm so in love with New Orleans accents, man.
Agreed.
To the point, speaking of the Uber driver, I was kind of picking on her a little earlier just by trying to get her riled up a little bit just so I could hear the accent. So, you'll hear that in the mixtape as well, but I pretty much told her Houston crawfish is better than New Orleans crawfish. She damn near stopped the car. But I'm a
you were
huge,
trolling.
Yeah, I was trolling. Yeah. I was trolling. But I'm a huge fan of New Orleans accents.
It's distinct.
I can hear them talk all day long.
Yeah, I'm with you. It is the best accent in the world, and I'm willing to fight behind that one. We were driving in to the convention center yesterday, pick our credentials, and we parked. And one of the parking attendants, obviously with all the Super Bowl volunteers, was a nice Indian lady, but she had a New Orleans accent.
That was
awesome. And it was like the best thing in the world. Yeah. Like, I was like, you put anybody, give them a New Orleans accent. And for me particularly, I'm happy to talk about women, but you know what I mean.
Like, yeah.
It all works out very good. You get a good bib in there and you feel better about your life. You just feel better about what's
happening.
You just
feel warm inside. You like it.
These are my confessions.
You guys know I love a good conspiracy theory, and I love this conspiracy theory going on with Luka and why that ridiculous trade that everybody has criticized and panned happened. So apparently, one of the theories floating out there, to me it makes sense. I mean, casino conglomerates do these types of things. And I, even if they're not doing it directly, I think they float these kinds of things. And what is this thing? It is that there is a plan, because Mark Cuban no longer has been the owner.
Yeah, he doesn't have the controlling interest now.
Controlling
He's a minority
interest,
owner.
Their background is in casino development in Las Vegas.
Correct.
And so one of the conspiracy theories out there is that this actually came from above, or at least started there, in terms of devaluing the Mavericks in a way, making them untenable to stay in Dallas. And ultimately, because they didn't get the Texas gambling passed as they thought they would,
which is
a ridiculous premise to begin with, that you thought it would actually happen.
They've got a lot of money and lobbying power.
Yeah,
there's a lot.
That was probably part of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of political touch when you talk about.
We can make it happen. We can make it happen. Well, they didn't, or at least not yet, have made it happen. So two things come up in this conspiracy theory. Number one, you make it untenable for the Mavericks. You create chaos, which is exactly what's happening. And ultimately, it gives you reason to move the team to Las Vegas. Or, as Parker was talking about earlier off air, or this is the type of pressure that you can put on state leaders to ultimately be able to bring gambling here, and then they're happy in Dallas.
I understand. This is one of those things that makes so little sense that we try and grapple and try and grasp for things that would help it make sense, i.e. conspiracy theories. I think this is just a really, really bad deal.
It could have been.
An incredibly bad deal. I will say, though, like, if you're wanting to, you know, move the leadership, state leadership on this gambling thing, I think it really is just, hey, you have to throw a whole bunch of money in there, because I always have said that one of the reasons why I believe that has not come through is in part because of this state in Louisiana and the state above Texas and Oklahoma.
Oh, sure.
100%. All the money that they get from, you know, visitors.
They've got lobbyists in Texas saying, keeping it from happening.
Exactly. So I think that you got to find a way to counter lobby that.
Yeah.
And I mean, they got a lot of money to do it. I can't imagine. Well, and I mean, I guess if you're throwing everything at it, maybe that's the way you go. But
yeah.
I can't imagine that they're like, hey, what we're going to do is we're going to tank this basketball team in hopes that that then makes the legislature move. That feels a little stretch.
Or threaten to move to Las Vegas makes it maybe more tenable too. I'm not saying I would, you know, bet on this actually being the case. I'm saying this is how those big Vegas, you know, conglomerates and casino people, you know, work.
I can't imagine also that the NBA would allow a team to move out of one of the large markets in America.
But it is Las Vegas.
It's Vegas, but Vegas is not as big a market, and it's more transitory than it is than if you consider in leaving, you know, one of the top five markets in the nation.
These are my confessions.
All right, you should know we are on Radio Row. This is where we're broadcasting from. And inherent with being on Radio Row is that with all this the media center, I guess the way I should say it, there's various different podcasts and people around, and we have wireless capabilities. My confession is, like, I have never wanted to, like, go wireless and go mess with people until you get into this room.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is my first time being just like going and taking a microphone around and shoving it in people's faces and asking them questions. Like, I've never thought I was the guy who would want to do it. But being in this room, I'm like,
you're going to be the man on the street?
Not really. But it's bubbling up within me. I think by the end of the week, I want to do it.
Mm-hmm. I think you should. I mean, we got the capabilities. You got it in the palm of your hand, man.
And I'm like, I feel like that's one of those things that you want to do until you jump in and you're like, actually, was this a good idea?
Yeah.
Do I really want to be bothering Mike Golic Jr. right now? You know, like stuff like that. You know, like am I really going to actually want to be in that place?
We'll just strike up a conversation, see where it goes.
Okay.
Man.
All right.
See where it goes.
We'll see if that ultimately happens, maybe.
These are my confessions.
I couldn't be happier for it. Like, this is actually, I showed you guys earlier. A memory popped up on Facebook. I don't know if it's still there or not. But either way, from 15 years ago, and I was showing you guys before the show, it was me and Adam Sandler and
Kevin James.
Mm-hmm. They popped in for an interview when we were on Radio Row in Miami 15 years ago. And that memory just happened to pop up today for obvious reasons. It's about this time. And you and Figgy were sitting with me. And it makes me feel so good that you two dudes are getting to experience it for the first time in person. And I can kind of see it through y'all's eyes. Like, Figgy and you are made for this. Like, made for this. Especially Figgy with all the things we're doing online. I would highly recommend people.
At Sports Radio 610 on
yes.
Instagram.
Like, I don't think you guys, as much as people like me can tell you, it becomes chaos, you know, by Thursday and Friday. I don't think until you experience it, you really get to appreciate what chaos is.
It's
like
so
where
chaotic.
We're sitting right now, if you look around and you're looking at it on YouTube, we won't be able to move for long stretches. There'll be people coming in with their gaggle of handlers, and then there comes this superstar, and there comes this movie star.
Yeah, this is the calm day.
This is like it's going to be chaos. And it's just so cool. And my confession is just, it makes it even better for me this time to be able to see it through your guys' eyes. Even just like as far as the house and the drive and the credentials and getting everything done. This is really cool for me.
It's really fun, man.
Yeah.
And honestly, it's a pleasure to even be in this position because it wasn't that long ago. It was last year I was producing back at the station.
What up, Byron?
And yeah, man. Hey, salute to Byron. I was there for years doing that type of stuff. Where I think it got to a point where when I was part time, wasn't even part of the show. Mm-hmm. They would call me in for Radio Row. Because they knew it'd be a lot of guests and a lot of hard work, and just to be here on the other side is super cool, man. It's super cool. Never take this for granted.
It is nuts.
Yeah, it's wild.
Yeah,
it's wild. And we're trying to give you as much of a taste of what we're experiencing via Instagram on Sports Radio 610. But yeah, man, it has been very fun. It is already we're half of one day into this, and it's already felt very chaotic, and it'll only stand to get more. So we'll do our best to keep everything together. With all of this, B. Scott ain't even been to that house yet. He hasn't even felt that chaos of it all. But man, it has been really fun. So yeah, those are your confessions here on this Monday of Super Bowl week here on Radio Row. Appreciation to Flight by Yingling for helping us be out here. Low T Center, who is a supporting sponsor as well. B. Scott currently sitting in the exclusive furniture hot seat. We might need to
get him some food.
Yeah, well, he already ate plenty there.
We need to change this camera to the food can.
Yeah, yeah. That
you
might
got
be
some
the way
food
we do
just
it.
Sitting
you
in front of the
right
camera
of
and
it.
Just chow down.
That might be the way we do this, but we might have to force B. Scott. If you're going to be in the exclusive furniture hot seat, you might need to put on a headset. That might be what we need to do. But coming up next, let's get into we skipped what's popping earlier. Let's get into what's popping here in a little bit, including a really perplexing loss by the Rockets this weekend. We'll talk about it next.
The biggest stories in sports and entertainment. Sports Radio 610 style. In the Loop presents What's Poppin'.
All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610 live from Radio Row. And one of the things that happened earlier today, we talked about it around the NFL. There was news that Myles Garrett has finally, in some ways, come to his senses. He is asking out of Cleveland, trying to get traded. And so there's a lot of different places that I imagine are in on this. And you think of the Houston Texans, you go, they're probably set on that. But
I like the way Charles McDonald was thinking.
It's like, just get him.
Just get him.
Just get him.
Why not? let's go.
I mean, what's complicated about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Just go do it.
Yeah, just.
You got two great defensive ends. Let's get another one. How about that?
By the way, if you're not familiar with that voice, that is B. Scott. He was around. We figured, why not?
Hey, those wings look good, man.
Also known as the notorious wing eater.
Those wings
look good.
Cleaning
off the bone.
By the way,
mama raised me right. That's right.
I know, Figgy, you don't have the headset on, but are you going to take that video and put it up? You're going to go get that video of B. Sky eating
I'm going to go grab it.
Oh, no.
Grab it.
Oh, no.
The comments were great. Hey, the comments were great.
Y'all know me well enough to know there is no shame in my game. Zero. I am about the most shameless individual that you will find.
Okay, so I
wear it proudly.
Speaking of shamelessness, how would you feel about the idea of Danielle Hunter for Myles Garrett? I mean, you might have to, like, do some level of contract, like an extension there in order to get him over there. Would you be all right with that, or are you 100% cool with, like, hey, let's stick with Danielle. I like seeing them Euros and all that.
Look,
keep that in the business.
Look, I love Danielle, and I would be perfectly fine if they just say, hey, look, we got two star defensive ends. We're going to roll with that. But you're not supposed to have me argue with going out and go get Myles Garrett. Like, what are we talking about? Like, we're talking about a generational talent, a perennial defensive player of the year candidate. And Danielle Hunter, with all due respect in his own right, is, I think, closer to that ilk than we probably want to give him credit for
in
this conversation. It seems kind of dismissive, but we're talking about Myles Garrett.
We actually talked about that before.
One of one. Mm-hmm. We're talking about one of one right now, a generational talent in this league right now.
Do that crossover in the middle of the defense?
Yeah, come on. What are we doing? What are we talking about? Every team that doesn't have – so every team not the Browns should be interested in Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
I firmly believe that.
Yeah, we'll see if Nick Caserio does anything.
I wish we could play Madden a little bit, man, just move Danielle in the middle and put Myles Garrett on the end and just had
move them all around.
Hey. You already did that with Danico Autry.
Four
down pass rushers.
Worked out great.
Oops, all pass rushers is what we're doing on defense.
Four guys on the line, all of them pass rushing.
Yeah.
Stop what run.
Yeah. We'll get there.
You can run a football. You're not throwing it, though. That's what's going to happen here.
You better run.
Yeah, exactly. Some other things that are popping. Obviously, Ryan Presley has been, you know, traded to the Chicago Cubs. I thought he did a little bit of a classy move. He took out – it's kind of old school, but I feel like it still works.
Actual newspaper, huh?
He went to the Houston Chronicle and took out a full-page ad just thanking the city for the time period that he spent here. Man, he really loved it here.
He did, and even that was kind of like the exclamation point. There is no way he would have done this under any other circumstance, other than Dana Brown and Joe Espada took the closing job away from him. Like, that was it. That's why he's gone. You know, even was it Dana Brown was talking last week about, oh, yeah, things changed after that. Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Correct.
and that's the reason he's not here anymore.
Yeah, I was like, he's probably not going to want to talk to you very much. I understand how that happens.
Yeah.
It's a tough thing, though, because, like, Presley's a legend here. Like, I was thinking about this when Billy Wagner got inducted into the – or was announced to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. I don't feel like in today's day and age we do enough of celebrating the elite reliever or the elite closer because of the way the game has changed, the way bullpens are managed differently.
Yeah.
But Ryan Presley, in every sense of the word, I think is somebody that we should talk about as – you know, one of the better relievers in Astros history and obviously a legend for what he did for the team. So it is odd to see how that relationship turned, but you also understand what was happening.
Yeah.
And I absolutely love that the way that he did this. He has the full page ad, but then, like, he has the letter on one side, but he also has the front page of the Chronicle on the other side of that about that ad. He made sure that he saw that World Series champions with him pointed to the sky. He's like, no, I need you to remember. This is the moment.
This is right here. We did it together,
but I was here.
Hey, Lopez, I know you could be sensitive to this because you were a newspaper man, but look, Ryan Presley, part of a dying breed, last of a generation that actually knows what a newspaper is.
He knows what a newspaper is.
Just barely old enough to know what a newspaper is.
Yes, he is. He's one of the older guys.
There you go.
That actually had it on his front porch at some point.
Yeah, for sure.
Best way to do this, right? If you're going to take out a full page ad, best way to do it is
exactly like that.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly like that. Especially a picture of him, like,
exactly. Yeah, like, hey, man,
I'm the dude, and I appreciate you.
I'm leaving, and I'm so happy, like, with my time there. But I want y'all to remember. I did this right here. Exactly. This is me. All me right here. Yeah. So, yeah, shout out to Ryan Presley. Best of luck to him in his future endeavors.
You know what? Before you move on,
yes,
another
sir.
Thing that Dana Brown them took from us with the Ryan Presley thing, mm-hmm. the Johnny Cash, the intro
yeah.
song.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that was one of the first things that one of my kids sent me.
Man, when they shut them lights out and everybody get their phones out, and then you hear that Cash come on, you know it's about to be cracking, man. I'm gonna miss me some press, man.
Absolutely, 100%. Now I do want to go, especially since we got Beast Guy here. Why not? A really embarrassing Island home game loss in my mind to the Brooklyn Nets on Saturday.
I was in the building.
Now,
oh, you were.
Yeah,
oh, yes. So you had a very particular view of that. With you know, it was a very frustrating loss after, you know, a four-game set being on the road. You come home for one home game before you head back on the road on another four-game road trip, which begins tonight in New York at Madison Square Garden. But this team just looked like they did not have any intensity, any energy, and it felt like this was one of those games where, you really are missing Alperen Şengün.
Yeah, all of that you just said on the last part, because I'm okay with losing the game, 82-game season. You're going to have some highs and some lows. You're going to lose to some teams that you probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
You're probably going to beat some teams that you probably shouldn't. But it was the way that they looked, the part that you mentioned about the energy. Like, the energy and effort did not seem to be there in the same way that we have come accustomed to watching the Rockets, especially this mm-hmm. version of the Rockets, the Emay's Rockets over the last couple of years. Normally, effort and energy is not the thing that you're going to criticize them for. They can't shoot. They can't do this. They can't do that. You still don't know who the closer is and all these other type of things. But it's normally not, hey, they didn't get after it.
Yeah.
And that was what that night felt like. It was a pretty big disappointment considering that is their calling card, is to show effort and energy. Now, the Alperen Şengün and then Fred VanVleet going out with the ankle injury early in the game, those things were relevant, and I think part of the reason why, hey, they might not have won this game anyway, but you got to put out a better effort than that.
Yeah, I mean, it was 110-98 loss, and by the way, I think one of the things that made it smart a little bit more for me, not that it actually changes anything on the standings or anything, but the Nets won their first set of consecutive games since November. Like, this is not a good basketball team, but I think they posed a very particular challenge.
That's what it was, right? I mean, they had a tough matchup. Now, the Rockets were, as B. Scott was saying, sort of a half step slow.
Yeah.
But they also seemed to be just a matchup problem for them.
Just a lot of, I mean, B. Scott, you were there. It felt like they have a lot of length, they have a lot of size, and the Rockets, if they can't, you know, pick and roll and get initiating offense that way, it'll devolve into just kind of ISO basketball, especially if you can't drop the ball down and let Alperen kind of distribute from the center of the floor.
Yeah, they didn't guard worth a damn. They didn't get after it defensively, which is a big disappointment.
True.
But then on the offensive side, to y'all's point, like, they're bad enough with one of those guys out. Like, Alperen Şengün is basically who their offense centers around. Fred VanVleet is basically the orchestrator of the one who keeps everything together. They didn't have the center of the universe, and they didn't have the one that normally pulls the puppet strings, if you will.
Yeah.
So they were basically like it was just, hey, Jalen Green, go get us a bucket.
Yeah.
Good luck. Which and that is not, I don't think, a recipe for success.
No. And I mean, I don't think that's the way that has been his best iteration of basketball either. He ends up taking some shots where, yeah, he can make them sometimes, but it's not a good diet, and you're not going to hit him at a high rate. And you definitely fell into a lot of those. And then on top of that, you fell into Amen Thompson trying to do some of that too. And it's like, oh, this is not productive basketball for a team of the caliber that the Rockets are setting themselves up to be. So hopefully they can find a level of getting themselves back to a better place as they face off against a really tough opponent, the New York Knicks, tonight in New York. Fred VanVleet is already out for this one. Alperen Şengün is questionable. And so, it'll be an interesting look because, again, not having Fred, who is an orchestrator on this offense, let's see if these other guys can kind of get themselves to a place where they're sticking to the plan and playing better basketball. Some other things that happened was popping. Hey, man, the Houston boy is back in Texas, but not with the Rockets. De'Aaron Fox was indeed traded to the San Antonio Spurs in a deal that saw Zach LaVine go from Chicago to the Kings. I mean, this makes the Spurs very terrifying in the division, don't they?
At least moving forward, I would say. Like, I don't know about how much this year it's going to connect and all that. They're still, you know, pretty far back in the stand. But this is the best thing about this. I was saying this earlier. If you're a Spurs fan, B. Scott, they didn't give up any of their key assets.
Dude.
Nothing.
This is So for as much as I enjoyed, you know, guilty pleasure watching the Mavs fans, you know, squeamish over the Luka Doncic trade.
Yeah.
Man, when this, because these are the two teams that the other two basketball teams that are in the state, right? So we've got, I think, close interstate rivals with the Mavericks and the Spurs fan bases. So I'm like, yeah, Mavs, yeah, y'all are at your lowest of low. And then the Spurs come up with a De'Aaron Fox. They're like, hey, man, you know, we got De'Aaron Fox, Chris Paul's on the team already, and we got the alien in Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox is what? He can't be older than 26, 27.
I believe he's 27.
Yeah, he can't. So like, they are positioned for the future to have two preeminent stars, two all-stars on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man.
It makes for good I-10 rivalry stuff.
Yeah,
and
the Spurs will be a lot more fun to watch now.
Yeah.
Like the Spurs, the only reason to watch over the last couple of years has been Wembanyama, at least for my money.
Well, Castle is really coming along.
Yeah.
They've
got
and
some young
talent. And he's going to be part of that.
For sure. And not having to, like you mentioned, not having to give up their young talent, not having to give up Stephon Castle to get. I don't understand what it is with not having to give up young talent to go get a superstar.
What a concept, huh?
Yeah, man.
what a concept.
Like, the Mavs are not like, hey, you know what? I want that Dalton Connect. Let me get that.
Yeah.
Let me get that other first-round pick. Let me get another first-round pick with that. They don't want none of that. Same thing with this Spurs thing. It's like, hey, you don't want to get Stephon Castle? Hey, whatever. Hey, if they like it, I love it.
Yeah. It seems like the Kings got a whole bunch of, like, trade assets, or, like, a draft assets, rather, in that trade back. So maybe they're good with that. But, yeah, Fox is indeed back in Texas. Doesn't have a three ball, which hopefully that is somewhat of a limiting factor, at least when you have to face off against them. Like, he is a scoring guy, but he's getting downhill. And Wembanyama maybe is if he's out there shooting the three ball, he's not as effective getting downhill and just dunking on you. Maybe those are the things that you can look at.
But it also gives you a sense for how they're going to build the team.
That is true,
right? So everybody, all of the other three guys on the team going forward after this year, you best believe that's what's going to be on the team.
Yeah, they'll find some shooting. So yeah, the Spurs are moving their way along towards finding something, as the Rockets ahead of them, thankfully, but they will have to continue pushing forward in their development, because the rest of the West continues to be a menace in the NBA. Some other things that are popping. I did want to mention this. What did I have here? Of course, the internet not working. Okay.
How bad do you really want to mention it, though, Red? How badly do you really want to mention it?
Well,
that's me filibustering, by the way.
I do personally want to mention it, because Houston was among four groups to officially submit a WNBA expansion bid. So the possibility of the return of the Comets do exist. Now, remember, the Comets banners still hang in Toyota Center. Like, this is something that it's a point of civic pride in some ways. You won the first four of the WNBA banners with that Houston Comets team. That team now, for the time being, defunct, but could come back, as WNBA is trying to expand. And Tilmer Fertitta, the governor of the Rockets, seems to be one of the four teams, or one of the four cities, that is trying to bring a WNBA team to Houston.
And you kind of think, you know, just, what, 2-3 years ago, your city goes, you know what, we're kind of interested in a WNBA team. And you're kind of thinking, what are you doing? But now's a good time.
Yeah.
And now's a good time. That league, the college game in that league, is really taking off. A lot of individual superstars that have been branded and are recognizable, and are certainly the game is better than it's ever been. It's actually not a bad play, man. I think it's a very good play.
Yeah, strike while the iron's hot.
Yeah.
Right? I think from a business side, to your point, Lopez, it's a good play. From a civic and cultural standpoint, to Reggie's point, like, I think it's a good play. The first four championships here, some of the best players to ever play in the game. And I think about this too, guys. The farther we get removed from that 97 to 2000 era, like, the farther we get away from it, the more their legacy kind of gets pushed back to the back burner, and it's easier to forget.
Well, that's absolutely true.
Right.
Yeah. And
they were
huge
here.
Yeah, man. They were rock stars, man.
I'm not going to overdo it, but relatively regularly, you know, 9,000-10,000. Sometimes they would sell out on the playoffs, you know, at the old Compaq Center.
I went to Monica Lamb's basketball camp at TSU, and Kim Parrott came and spoke before she passed. Like, I mean, these were important moments growing up.
Yeah.
Like, it was a big deal. But I think before we got into the culture wars of, like, people hating, you know, not wanting to give women's basketball the credit that it deserves, we've kind of flipped now and are, like, recognizing them for what they are. I think the rivalries that we're seeing with Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, some of what we're seeing these days is helping that. But, yeah, I would love to see the Comets come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's what's popping here. Well, I guess, and also, what's also popping is that we are in New Orleans.
We are in New Orleans.
For Super Bowl Radio Row, man.
And I got my Mardi Gras shirt on. I'm a month early, baby.
Did you fly in that?
I'm ready to go. I sure did. I damn sure did.
You pulled into the airport with that.
You want to make it known where you were headed?
Man, I've had this shirt for 2 years. My first time wearing. I cut the tags off this morning. I couldn't wait.
That's great.
Oh, that's great.
Ready to get here.
Because you just hit touch. You touched down and went right here. What are the shenanigans that you're most excited to get into?
Oh, man, I saw y'all went to Café du Monde. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. So the French Quarter, all of the different, I don't want to call them scammers, but like the hustlers.
Yeah.
Like the guys they're pretending to do magic tricks. They're not.
Yeah.
I remember one time I was down here and a dude had like a Transformer outfit, like a Transformer costume, like, and he would literally, like, he'd be like standing up regular like the rest of us, and he would fold himself into a Transformer. Man, they got all kind of hustlers on in the French Quarter, man. I cannot wait to go see them.
I can tell you where you got those shoes. That's my favorite line.
Yeah.
So you will know if you are also making your way to New Orleans for this type of week, you will know exactly where to find B. Scott. It sounds like that is very evident.
With the scammers.
Yeah.
I will be with him.
He will not be a scammer, though.
No,
I want to make that clear.
No, I'm here on official capacity.
There you go. And that official capacity brought to you by Flight by Yingling and Low T7 are bringing this out here. That man is currently sitting in the hot seat. Brought to you by Exclusive Furniture. And, of course, you can see it on the live stream that is sponsored by Mo Karam Injury Lawyers. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we headed to our final hour of Monday, and we begin by getting into the winners and losers of the weekend, and we'll do that next.
All right, let's talk about Ability Trees, abilitytrees.com, and Lewis Flory and getting those trees taken care of, man. With Lewis Flory, he's a good friend. Be sure to mention my name. It helps. He'll come out to your house, answer all your questions like he's done for me with, you know, multiple times at our house. My kids even use him out there, called him out there, and they love him. And the reason is it is complete tree care in every sense of the term. Talking about pruning and manicuring your trees, which is always at the top of the list, because not only will they look better, but you'll sleep a little better at night too, because with Ability Trees, when you properly trim and prune your trees, you're going to get them less susceptible to wind and storm damage, and you can spray them for insects and diseases, deep root feeding, all of it with the knowledge and expertise of more than 40 years as a licensed arborist in the greater Houston area. Call Lewis Flory, and you'll be very glad you did. 281-441-4179, 281-441-4179. It's abilitytrees.com, Houston's leading tree care professional.